Thank you, Joy. Hope that's your testimony tonight, that you still love the Lord, just not getting over being saved yet. Amen. We appreciate the Brother Bert and Hector kind of directing the music tonight toward the fact that it's our mission conference. And we started off singing Bringing in the Sheaves, and of course that's what it's all about. Tonight we're going to have three missionaries from the what we'd call the foreign field. You're going to have a little bit of trouble understanding their words. I asked them to speak a little slow because we were all retarded. Anyway, if you look over here on the wall, those signs right there, that's the three countries that they're from. And we appreciate them being with us. They've been several months now away from their home over here, going to churches like us and representing their field. Now, make a self case out of it. If we were over there speaking to their church, their congregation, they'd have a hard time understanding us, at least y'all. They'd get my Georgia sound, but they wouldn't get yours. All right, all joking aside, I'm going to ask, we appreciate Brother Lee Padgett driving them over here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Lee if he'll come up and just say a very brief word and help me stand up here then, Brother Lee, and help me as I introduce the first speaker tonight. And I'm going to try to say his name, and I'll miss it. Brother Lee will probably miss it. So listen close for the missionary to tell you who he really is, all right? Brother Lee, you want to go ahead and say something to us?
I'm sure all of you know, have heard plenty and shared in the ministry of Help Ministries. But Help Ministries directly supports over 600 national pastors that are well-grounded in the faith. And indirectly through that, supporting over 3,000 churches. And I've had the privilege of the last 8 years driving these fellows around and sharing in the ministry. And without exception, when you hear their testimony, they all talk about the same thing, about planting churches. None of them stay in one place. It's planting churches for the Lord. And the sacrifice that they did coming from their home, I have a list here of over 50 churches that they started on September 13th. And they will be here until next week to finally get back home, but sharing their ministry. That's upwards of over 100, pushing 150 different services that they've been in. So let me recruit a little bit. If any of you would like to share in the blessings received and spending time in these services, spending time with these people, we can always use help driving. So that's quite it's a blessing to share in that ministry. But tonight, we have three from all over the world. The first one that I'd like to introduce to you, Abak Zwala. He's from Kenya, Southeast Asia. How many times have we been together and I said that? Excuse me for that, yes. Formerly Burma, now called Myanmar. The military rulers that took over the place that back in 1990 decided that Myanmar was a better name. Okay. And next, we have Yudal Lugra, better known as Singh. He's from Guyana, South America. And last we have Brother Paul Guerra, Kenya, and Africa. So these three will be sharing their testimonies with you tonight, and it's always a blessing.
Okay, first one you named?
Yudal.
Yudal. Ugra. All right, you say it again when you get up here. Trinity Baptist Church, right? And missionaries to Guyana, South America. Come on up, brother. And give us that, give us some testimony about the work and the ministry. And again, like I say, we're all retarded. Speak slow to us.
Okay, good evening. I'm from Guyana, and we speak English, so I don't think I need to speak slow, all right? Because I grew up speaking English. I was born in Guyana, and at the age of 16, my parents sent me away to Suriname, the neighboring country of Guyana, just a river separated the two countries. I went to Suriname in the year 1979, and I lived 21 years there before I get back to Guyana. In Suriname, I got married, and me and my wife made 8 children in Suriname. All right? In the year 1987, I got saved under a ministry church by the name of Calvary Baptist Church. I got saved from a strong Hindu background and a miserable lifestyle. I wouldn't want to talk much about my lifestyle before I got saved because time would not permit me that. But trust me, miserable lifestyle. The religion that my mom taught me could bring difference in my life could not. And that is Hinduism, worshiping of idols. My mom come out from a strong Hindu background. Her father had 2 temples in his yard. That is, one day he gave life's blood sacrifices to his gods, and one he gave sweets and flowers, offer that to his gods. My mom had regretted that she sent me away to Suriname because of being away from parents, my life get wrecked up. In drinking and smoking and marijuana smoking, fighting and getting locked up for many times. But comes 1987 when I got saved, the Lord has took my life and turned it around and brought me up from the gutter and put my feet on the pulpit. Amen? I serve in my church as a general contractor from the living room of my pastor. I went all the way building, designing and building Calvary Baptist Church, designing a building, college building for college program, and also a school in Suriname. When all is done, the Lord just dealt with my heart and he carried me through some real rough situations in life just to get my attention in surrendering to him for ministry. During the course of doing all that I said from the living room, there was great desire to become a preacher. There was great desire to give my life to serve God as a pastor. But then comes children along the way, responsibility along the way, life standard change, and all those things changed my mind and set my focus on business and set my focus on elevating so that my children can have a better life in future. And so God led me through some rough waters, allowed me to struggle along the way, and got me some miserable, I wouldn't say he got me, but I would say he allowed me to go through some downfalls. And when all was done in Suriname, all the buildings and everything was in order, school was in progress, God allowed me to fail in a business transaction. I sit and God convinced my heart that he need me in ministry. I get up from that table that I spend hours wondering and ask and praying that God reveal why he allowed me to go through that downfall, take all my money and invest it in the business and lose. And God remind me of the desires that I had in serving him in ministry, being a pastor and preacher, winning soul for the Lord. He had allowed me to win many souls, bring a lot to the knowledge of salvation in Suriname. And I get up from that table and I tell my wife, love, give me some time that I can go visit my mom in Guyana and think of what next move to do. And so in my life, let me carry back to this. In my life when I got saved, the Lord has used me first of all to bring my mother out of Hinduism. She got saved. My father got saved. All my siblings, three sisters and three brothers got saved. An extended family look at our lifestyle, being Christian, walking the road proud, with our Bible in our hands. They too started to gradually join the church and getting saved. Amen? So that is a tremendous transformation that God has done in our family life. But then comes 2000, when I get up from that table, on my dining table, and the next day I travel to Guyana, and I had some time to spend with my mom. By that time, my mom and all my brothers and sisters moved back to Guyana. I was the only one that left back in Suriname, working in ministry, serving the Lord. I told my mom that what took place, and she told me, why don't you make a decision to come back home? That I always want you to come back. Because they were kind of wandering around to find a proper church. And I called my wife and said, love, prepare, we're coming back again. She probably thought I was just joking because of what happened. I went back on the Monday, went to church Wednesday, and I make an announcement that I'm going back to Guyana and dedicate my life to the service of God and in ministry. And I invite all the poor ones in church to come and take whatever they want from my home. I will have a wonderful, comfortable life. I just took my construction tools. My wife took her kitchen stuff, packed it. She said she's not leaving that. She's not giving away those things. So, and I agree with her, because she had loved her kitchen. And I took back my wife and 8 children in the year 2000, went back to Guyana with nothing, and gave away everything that I had. Can you imagine I gave away a Mercedes-Benz? Everything I gave away. And when you had a Mercedes-Benz in Suriname, your lifestyle is looked upon as a rich man. But I was not rich. I lived comfortable. The Lord has blessed me with that. But I gave away everything and I surrendered my life to the Lord. The Lord has used me and my wife and children mightily in Guyana. We started Trinity Baptist Church in 2001, struggled for the first year. Then by faith, I start under my brother home with one bench, just a couple of song sheet. And the Lord has took us from there, bless us. In fact, the second week after I started by faith, I don't know where I'm going to get supply, and never think of support because I'm a working man. The second week after, American missionary was waiting for me at the gate. He too has planned and started a ministry in the area, and he heard about me because we share out flyers. And he come and he asked, brother, what's your faith? What do you believe in? And when he found out that I'm a fundamental Baptist believers, he said, I'll leave this area because you're living here. Where do you get your supply? He said, I started by faith. He said, if I give you 40 hymn books, would you accept it? I said, thank God, bring it. The Wednesday, that missionary showed up with 40 hymn books and Sunday school material for my wife that lasts for years. And we thank God for that. God has used us mightily. The list of souls getting saved. I stand for 17 years in Trinity Baptist Church as a self-supporting pastor, work, take care of my children, send them to school, and still upkeep the ministry. Still have time to go out soul winning, seeing souls get saved, baptizing. And for the past 2 years, the Lord started working in my heart. I started to bring conviction because now I'm in a position where I'm seeing that because of my job, construction work, I'm losing the Sunday school children that grows up in the church. They started to drift away because they're in their youths, and there's no strong leader there to, you know, be by their side, getting them in different activities and so forth. So God is working my heart, burden my heart to go out full time, and I just make contact with Health Ministry. Then the Brother Ron invited me up, and here I am. Thank you for your time, your patient listening to me. Thank you, Pastor, for giving help, sharing the pulpit with me. And I want to extend great thanks to Health Ministry. I know I heard a lot that this Health Ministry was started around this church. Mickey Carter played a great role in Health Ministry. I want to thank the Lord for Health Ministry, whose heart is burdened for local missionaries or local pastors. I go all the way out to bring them up so that they can raise support for their ministry. Thank you very much. God bless.
Well, amen. Helps Ministries, as Brother Lee already said, doing a tremendous work with those on the field and getting them over here and trying to get some support for them. And you take a background like that you just heard there. In America, we're trying to get folks saved from just normal sinner's background. But when you get in a false religion, you remember what Jesus said about it? He warned them, said, you compass both land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you've made him twofold more the child of hell. That's a bigger, deeper hole to come out of that kind of false religion. And what a good testimony, and what a good job they're doing. All right, we're going to let Brother Lee help me with this name.
Let's just call him Brother Zawala, and he will give you his full name.
Okay.
BMR.
Okay. God bless you, brother. Give us a word.
God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Because of God's goodness, because of His grace, He gives us good health and good opportunity to be here in His sanctuary together and to worship Him.
Amen.
Even though we are different parts living in this world, God bring us together this evening.
Amen.
That is what I say. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Lalbiak Zawala. People call me Zawala. My nickname is Zawala. I am from Myanmar, formerly called Burma. I have a family. I have a very beautiful wife. And only one wife. And I have two daughters. I am from a Buddhist country, idol worshippers countries. More than 85% of the population are worshipping idols. They are Buddhism. Among them, I am working and serving the Lord.
Amen.
And also, I born and grow up from a Christian family, but I did not know about Jesus Christ and about salvation until I was 15 years old, up to 1985. At that time, in our church, in our village, our church had Salvation Crusade. And then I joined in that crusade, and I participated in that crusade. And by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit convictions, and through the message, I got saved. And then I decided and dedicated my life for the Lord, for His ministry. to be a servant of God, a thought came to my mind. I need to go to Bible college. And I prayed to the Lord in order to go to Bible college. And the Lord opened a way for me to go to Bible college in Nagaland Bible College in Nagaland State in India. While I am studying my Bachelor of Theology, as I am a poor man, I cannot afford for my schools. I was a work scholarship student. So I tried hard, and by the grace of God, I could accomplish my Bachelor of Theology in 1997. And I went back to my home country, and our church field director invited me to come to Yangkong City and work with him in the ministry. As a call of God is in me, and as I have a great desire for the ministry, I have accepted his invitation, and I went to Yangkong City and served the Lord. Amen. From 1997. While I involved and started in the ministry, I was as an office clerk. And after 4 years, I was lifted up as assistant pastors. Till today, I am serving in our local church as assistant pastor in our church. As a church, we have planted 2 daughter churches in Yangkong City areas, in the urban poor areas. In that areas, the Lord has given us 2 different pieces of lands. In that land, we build a house for our missionary family livings, and we build a house for church worship service, and we build a house for our members' livings. As our members are very poor, they don't have house to stay or to live in. We built one house, and in that house, we divided it into 7 rooms. One room is 10 square feet big only. In that house, in that rooms, 7 families are living nowadays. In such a way, we are serving the Lord in Myanmar, and we are reaching out the lost souls and bring them to Christ in such a way. If we can build more house for the poor people, in the future, we will be winning many lost souls in the day to come. Please pray for my ministry and our church, so that through prayer, through your prayer partner, we could be successful in our future ministry. As a local church, we have children orphanage home we call Bethel Home. We started from 1998, and now we have 65 children, boys and girls, and they are studying in the government school. We send them in the government schools, and also we train them to our Christianity, and we train them about our Christian life. We train them and we teach them about Jesus Christ and about salvation, about our God. By the grace of God, many of them are God saved from our children ministry. Even some of them are the first, second, third batch are now already grow up, and they already graduated from theological schools. And some of them are now working with us in the ministry. Yeah. In such way, we are seeing the fruit that in our ministry. And also, some of them are graduated from secular schools and working in the working place like companies or like in government jobs. Whenever they got salaries, they give their tithe to our church. Amen. That is what we praise the Lord, that God is good to us. Through our children ministry, we are winning many lost souls, and we train many children, and we train many young people into Christ, and we bring them into Christ. So nowadays, we want to extend our children ministry. We want to build one more house. We have a blueprint for a house, and we are praying for that. We want to have more than 100 children and looking after them. So this evening, I would like to request you to pray for our children ministry too. I hope and believe and trust that through your prayer, support, and partnership, in the future, we'll be getting more children and we'll be getting more lost souls and bring to Christ. We'll be successful and fruitful in the ministry. Thank you. May God bless you all.
Using some tools on the mission field, what he was saying there. When we look at our gauge and we once a year have our mission conference, Landmark has got a worldwide outreach, really, for missionaries and workers through HEPS Ministries and others. We hear from the mission field. We bring it to us. And it's tremendous that I really believe America's blessed of God. In spite of our sins, I believe it is, we still send and we still give, and more souls are being saved on the mission field probably than there are right here at home. But God's allowing that. All right, to Brother Lee, help me here with Brother Paul.
Paul Kahara.
Go ahead. Say it.
Paul Kahara.
I got the first part. It's Paul. Paul, come on up. God bless you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a privilege to study here tonight. Born as a Kenyan, Africa, and I thank the Lord that I have one of my fellow Kenyan brothers here, Steve, studying in this college. And so, Pastor, I'm so much grateful for the privilege that you have given unto me, that I can study here. I was born in Kenya by my parents who are Catholics. They were Roman Catholics, and I knew that from my childhood, that I'm supposed to do good to go to heaven. Until one Sunday morning when I was 25 years old, I was invited in a Bible Baptist church. And when I went there, I heard the gospel message. And I realized that if I could die that morning, I could spend my eternity in hell. I heard the message, and that morning, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord because of America for sending missionaries to Kenya, because my pastor was led to Christ by a missionary from America. And you can see the process that after my pastor got saved, he has led many other people to Christ. Amen. And after leading many people to Christ, even some of us like me, we have been called into the ministry and also leading other people to Christ and also planting more churches. And so I thank the Lord even for the HELP Ministries, for the kindness and the goodness that they have shown unto us, that they can be able to support our missionaries all over the world so that we can be able to continue preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. After I got saved, I thank the Lord because my pastor took time to disciple me. He taught me the word of God. And for sure, from 1997, I still remember the verses that he taught me. And these verses has been helping me so much when I am in the ministry. As I say Matthew 28, 18 to 20, as I say 1 Corinthians 15, 58, all these verses, they has been encouraging to me. And this I learned because of my pastor who took time to teach me about the word of God. After some time, after I got saved, I went to a mission conference, and the Bible school students were the ones that were preaching. And I don't know about here, but that time, they were given each and every one of them 7 minutes to deliver the message, from the title to the conclusion. And as a young man of 25 years old, God spoke to me during the mission conference, and I went back and I shared to my pastor that I have heard the message, and I realized that God is calling unto me that I can be one of the laborers. And so in the year 2000, I was able to join the Bible school, where I graduated in the year 2003. Then in the year 2004, there was a church that had no pastor. They had a small congregation of about 15, and this church called me to be their pastor. And from the year 2004 up to now, I have been pastoring in that church for the past 14 years. Amen. And so I thank the Lord for calling me into the ministry and helping me to lead many people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to go door to door without any fear, knowing that God has told us that he is going to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. I am so much encouraged to know that I am not in the ministry by myself. I know that I am in the ministry because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks together with me each and every day. When I go through the valleys, when I go through the mountains, when I go through discouragement and frustrations, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is together with me. We have a Christian school, and I thank the Lord because of giving me the heart for young boys and girls. And we, in our Christian school, we have 350 children from kindergarten to grade 8. There are so many, and most of the time I joke with the people and tell them, when you come into our church during the time of school, you can see these children, they are like bees in a beehive. Amen? There are so many, and the compound is small, but I thank the Lord because of the Manna Worldwide. It's an organization from America that has been supporting us with the food that we can be able to give something to these children for them to continue with the learning. In the year 2010, we started a program of people living with HIV and AIDS. And when we started this program, it was not easy, because most of the people, they don't want to be associated with the people living with HIV and AIDS. And the Lord, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And so my desire is to reach these people. Even if other people, they don't want to tell them about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to me, I have been spending time with them. Some have been so hopeless with the stigma, frustrated, having no hope in their life. And from 2010 up to now, 60 of them have surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was so much touched about dealing with people living with HIV and AIDS. And I want to talk tonight because of the youth that are in this congregation. Most of the time, we take life as a normal thing. We don't care when we are dating. We don't care whom we are working together with. In the year 2011, I lost my younger sister through HIV and AIDS. It was so frustrating to me because my sister was married to a person who had already living with HIV and AIDS, and she did not know. She was young. And this man had already divorced. And then now my sister goes without any knowledge. And when she got a baby, the doctor told her that she is HIV positive. She was so discouraged. She got a stigma. And after talking to the husband came with some people, and he sold everything in their home. And he sent my sister back to the village. And when she went back to the village, she was so much discouraged, and he got meningitis. And she could not take any drugs because of how she was. And finally, she died. When I went for the funeral, I saw that this is the high time that God is teaching me something, that I should speak to these people, how they are supposed to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially to tell the young generation to take precaution, to stay in Jesus, to live a life that is pleasing unto God. And let me tell you that the young child, he is now about 8 or 9 years, he was left being positive. Now he is being taken care of by my mother. It is so hard for us as a family when you see this young boy taking drugs every morning, every night, and he doesn't know what he is doing. And most of the children, when they come to the age of accountability and they know how they are living in, they live a denial life. And most of them, they may commit suicide, or they may live a life that has no hope. And so let us continue praying for each and every one of us, that we can continue spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 12 and 13, God told Moses, gather the people together, that they may come and hear and learn and fear the Lord our God, and observe to do all the law. In verse 13, it talks about the children who have not known about the Lord, that they should be gathered together. It talks about men, women, children, and even the stranger in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse 12 and 13. And that is my prayer, that we should go everywhere and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to gather them. And I usually tell people, if you cannot be able to lead somebody to Christ, just tell him to come to the church. The pastor is ready to preach the gospel. He is going to hear, he is going to learn, he is going to have the fear of the Lord, and he is going to observe to do all the things that we have been commanded. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. The missionaries came, they taught us the word of God. Our pastors has taught us the word of God. And now we are witnesses that mission works. We are witnesses that we are ready to go and spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can turn this world upside down for Christ. And as we continue with Mission Conference this year, may you make a decision that I am ready to be one of those who are supposed to support missions. And I believe that God is going to help us. God is going to enable each and every one of us. And I finish by giving 3 examples of 3 people. An example of 3 people. We have a stone giver. For this building to be built, you have to take a hammer and make the stones so that the house can stand firm. There are some members, the pastor has to take the Bible, the word of God, and hammer them that they can give. Number two, we have sponge givers, sponge givers. You know about the sponge. You have to squeeze the sponge that it can remove the water. These are not very hard like the stone givers. You just squeeze. And I know that the pastor is here to squeeze them through the word of God. Amen. And number three, we have the honeycomb givers. The bees, they just give honey. Every time when you go to the beehive, you get honey. Be a honeycomb giver. And I believe that God is going to bless us. We have planted two more other churches, and I thank the Lord that we are continuing to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my desire is that we can reach many people in Kenya by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, thank you very much.
Romans chapter 10 begins with Paul with a desire in his heart for his people. You heard that from these men tonight. And I think about what Paul was saying. People were afraid of those with the AIDS and all of that. We understand that. But they still have souls. Amen. And they're going to die before a lot of people are going to die. Right. And to go in there and get the gospel to them. Sort of like Paul here. Says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. That was his people. He was a Jew. That they might be saved. And then you soul winners in Romans chapter 10, powerful verses that we use to point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. I often have said from this chapter, after I've explained the gospel, I said, now let me read you some verses that'll show you how to accept Christ. And of course, that's what verses 10, 9, and 10 are about here in Romans chapter 10. But I want you to drop on down, if you've opened your Bible to it, for just a couple of minutes here. It says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's the ones that's already confessed him, believed on him in their heart. Now they can call on the Lord, ask God to save them. But look at what verse 14 and 15 says. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Mission conference is about sending the gospel, isn't it? The Morgan family, Brother Jim preached for me Sunday night. And we could point to so many others right out of our church that heard the call to not only send, but to go and to get the job done on the mission field. It's not easy. It's tough. You hear from these guys and some of the awful pagan religions and things they have to deal with. But how shall they preach except they be sent? Our part is sending, folks. And if you can't go, you ought to be part of the sending team to send, to give. It says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what it's about, not to just have our own church here and reach a few souls in our neighborhood, but to gather together as a body, unite our efforts together, and send the gospel around the world. And so what we have tonight is an example. You heard one or two of these men say, so-and-so got saved when an American missionary came. But the good part is the American missionary may have started off and got some saved, but now it keeps going. Amen. That's the part. And that's what HEPS ministry is involved so much in, is getting the local people in the country. Truthfully, most of us Americans, if we go to another country, we try to take a lot of America with us. And we try to keep our American lifestyle as much as we can. The people that's already there are the ones that can then take the ball and run with it. Amen. And do even a better job once they've been reached. And I praise God for the testimonies of these men tonight. We'll hear some more in Sunday school Sunday morning. We'll hear some more Sunday night. And we will be asking you to take that green card. You don't put your name on it, but pray over it. Ask God to tell you an amount that you're going to try to give for this coming year if the Lord Jesus don't come. By the way, if he does come, you'd wish you'd have gave more. I'll guarantee you. And let's try to get this goal finished, and then we'll set another one. Somebody says, well, if we reach that one, you'll just set another one. That's right. That's the plan. That's always been the plan. Amen. And we keep on doing for God. We have a little course around here. The staff don't sometimes like it too much. We'll work till Jesus comes. That's how long our job's going to last, right? And that's what it's all about. I hope tonight you've got a little bit of a taste and a burden for what missions is about, because we're bringing these men in to share their situations. Pray for them. Pray for their families. They've been away from them. They're going to a lot of churches like us. And you pray for their success on the field. I like what I hear from them starting other churches. Using methods like talking about the houses there to reach souls. If I understood it right, he's talking about a 7-room house and a family in each room. Is that where you got it? Amen. I think I did understand that. And so when you go home tonight, count how many rooms you got in your house. And look and see if you got any other families in there. Some of you may have. But all joking aside, they're doing a great job reaching souls. Here's what I want to do to end the service tonight. I want Brother Bert to come. We're just going to have an invitation verse to this extent. I'm going to ask our church, all of you that will, to pray tonight. You can pray in the pew. You can come to the altar about our mission program, about reaching our goal and setting a goal for next year. And in that prayer, ask the Lord if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you can do, or what you promised to do. And will you do that? Let's stand, please. Invitation tonight to come and pray. Pray for missions. Pray for these men you heard. Pray for our program. Pray for those that are working so hard, like Brother Lee Padgett, driving. Pray for their safety. Brother Tom Knickenbocker in another church tonight. Pray for Brother Scotty Drake that had this vision to do what's being done by Helps Ministries. A lot to pray for.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
No turning back, no stopping place. In a sense, every one of us was reached by a missionary, whether it was a local pastor preaching, whether it was an individual that shared the gospel or a family member. God's plan is to pass it on from one to another. Our job is to do that. The verses we read said, "How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? You might be doing a lot of important things in this life in the eyes of man, but you'll not do anything any more important in the eyes of God than getting the gospel to somebody else. I appreciate Brother Lee driving the men over here tonight and them coming. Tomorrow night will be home missions, and you'll be surprised. We got a lot of mission work going on right out of our own membership, and we praise God for that. And you'll hear some of that tomorrow night also. Can't hear it all. Don't have time to go through it all, but I hope you do spot the folks that we could truly call those that are getting the gospel out in our midst in a real sense. Missionaries. Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. Thank you for the testimonies of these men. We ask your blessing on the safety of their families while they're here, their churches, the works they're doing. We pray, Father, for the souls that's been saved over there, that they'll grow and reach others, for the churches that are being started. We thank you, Father, that Brother Paul spoke about having a burden and how it reached even into his own family concerning those that have a death sentence on them. This thing of AIDS that spread so much on so many mission fields. We thank you again, Father, we can have a part. Help us as a church to be able to send and to do our part. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus that was a missionary to us, that the Father sent his only Son, that we could have him pay the price for our sins and be saved. Thank you again for the service tonight. Pray you'd bless tomorrow night and this weekend, and bless our mission goal, Father, to climb. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.